Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast with your host, Mike Campion. If you are passionate about the cleaning industry, you are in the right place. Love what you hear? Spread the word and tell the cleaning world this is the place to be. Want more? Check out www.growmycleaningcompany.com for free online video trainings, free ebook downloads, free blog posts, and of course, all the podcast episodes. Everything you need to grow your cleaning company is at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. And now, on with the show.
Hello, Cleaning Nation. It is so good to be with you once again. Welcome to the place to get everything you need to have the cleaning company you've always wanted, the cleaning company that you deserve. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, if you have questions for me personally or want to hire me to speak at your next event, all of that goes through our producer, Natalie. You can email her at nat@growmycleaningcompany.com. Of course, you can give us a call at 480-648-5149. Do it now. We love hearing from you, Cleaning Nation. Today, we have a special treat. We are chatting with Stephen Code from AMC Commercial Cleaning. AMC has been in business for 29 years and is currently has over 750 franchisees through Australia and New Zealand. If you want to reach out to Stephen and his team, you can get a hold of them at www.amcclean.com.au. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Mike. Good to be here.
So glad to have you, my friend. So it's been 29 years. What drew you to the business in the first place?
Oh, 29 long ones. Look, I think cleaning's one of those businesses that you can get into without having to climb too many hurdles. I left school at 14 or 14 and a half with little education. So picking up a mop and a bucket seemed like an easy way to get into a business. So that's really the beginning of it, sort of wanting to do something for myself. And cleaning was an obvious choice.
Beautiful. So how long were you, it sounds like you probably started cleaning yourself, then you got some employees. At what point did you make the transition from owning your own company to franchising it out to others?
I originally had a domestic residential round I did in Melbourne, Australia for probably 2 years. And then I took myself off and did what I called a forced apprenticeship by going to work for some of the bigger cleaning and maintenance companies in Melbourne, just to learn. And basically my background was always sales. So when I started AMC Commercial Cleaning, I had the idea that if you start a business as a small business, Mike, I figure it's always going to be a small business. So I always started on the basis that I really wasn't doing the work myself, even though I did mop floors and strip and seal vinyl and carpet clean and all that sort of stuff. From day one, I basically managed the business by having employees doing the work.
So how'd you make the transition from owning kind of one location that you manage yourself to franchising out to other owners?
Look, with any business that you want to grow, what you have to do is get some runs on the board. You've got to get some clients that you can leverage from to pick up additional work. You've got to have a reference point. I was lucky enough to pick up one of the IKEA stores. You guys got IKEA furniture over there, I'm guessing.
Absolutely.
So I picked up the IKEA furniture store in Melbourne, which is where we started in Australia, and then managed enough by jumping on the phone in the old, hello, my name's Stephen. Can I come and give you a quote for your cleaning? Basically, that was what it was all about. And I picked up some golf courses and some retail chains and from that, it was just a very slow process of trying to pick up more work and then managing that work. Because one of the issues you have, Mike, as your listeners will know, when you start a cleaning business is, and you pick up some contracts and you employ some staff, there's that lag time between starting the work, paying for the staff to clean the building, and then getting paid from the client. So it's a very slow process to sort of build the business up. And I think it took us about 3 years to hit the magic million mark, which I look back these days and go, that's amazing. These days we probably pick up we probably sell over $1 million worth of work a month in the country.
So tell me about the, because here in the States, we've got a couple different models that people use for franchises in terms of what the franchisor provides, what the franchisee provides. Give me a little background about how you guys do it out there.
Okay. If I take you back to the early days, the reason we got into franchising is because it enabled us to grow without having to have that lag time between getting paid, because basically the work's the franchisees, so the franchisees effectively funds it along the way, so we can continue to grow and continue to engage more franchisees and continue to grow. We run our business exactly the same way as we would if we had an employee base. So the franchisees don't do the selling. They don't manage the work. All they do is provide the cleaning to the clients, and they engage their own staff if they're big enough to do that. So we have a team of salespeople around the country, and they go out and pick up the work and they allocate it to franchisees. And then we have customer service managers roaming around the country who also visit the clients and make sure that the franchisees are doing the jobs that they want them to do.
Okay, cool. So yeah, that is a common methodology out here where the franchisor is responsible for getting the work, signing the contract, oftentimes collecting the money, and the franchisee is just kind of their purview, their area of expertise is just providing the service, and obviously they get paid a percentage. The franchisor keeps a percentage, and hopefully everybody's happy.
Well, I think the good indication, or the best indication I have for how our branches around the country are going, are how many franchisees they put on, because we don't advertise. It's all word of mouth. So, you know, if the franchisees are making money and they're happy, they'll recommend us to other people in their communities. Now, last year we put on, I think it was about 75 new franchisees across Australia and New Zealand. And this year so far, and I'll talk calendar years, it's easier, we've done about 50 so far this year. So it's a pretty good indication that we're doing a job that makes sure that the people who buy a franchise are successful and making money.
Yeah, then that's, I would imagine that's, if your franchisees are successful, you're successful. If they're not, you struggle.
Yeah, it's very, very much that way. So we have franchisees that have an annual turnover in the business, you know, from as low as $40,000-$50,000 a year to I've got a couple around the country that are doing about $1.5 million in turnover. So there's a whole range of different franchisees. It really depends on what they want out of life, how big their business they want to grow.
Well, and that's an interesting perspective, because the marketing and client attraction piece of the business is worlds apart from the operations and fulfillment side. So it's kind of nice that you guys are, or I shouldn't say you guys, from a franchisor standpoint, you say we have perfected the client attraction piece, and we're going to let you guys deal with all the headaches of fulfillment and operations and customer satisfaction, but we're going to take that whole where's my next job coming from piece off of your plate.
Yeah, you know, not only that, but we spend a lot on training and retraining and supporting the franchisees, because as anyone running a cleaning business knows, it's you're better holding onto a job than getting a new one. So retention is a very important part of any cleaning business, and I reckon too often people concentrate on the new jobs more than they do the existing stuff, and the hidden cost in running any business is that loss rate, that churn rate that you get with contracts.
Yeah, I would agree. Dealing with coaching, helping on-air, off-air owners of cleaning companies day in, day out, I would absolutely agree that we kind of get caught up in the sexiness of chasing new account and getting new accounts. So it's a ton of fun. But you're absolutely right. You lose an account a month. It's so much easier just to take the little bit of time it would take to save that account than it would take to go onboard an entire new account. And the larger accounts you get, the more that becomes true.
It does. You know, we look after something in the order of about 4,500 buildings around the country. And we do. You get caught up in, it's all sales driven. You get caught up in, you know, what new work's coming in. But I know what my cost of sales is. So I know that for every $1 million worth of new work that we bring through the door costs me between $150,000 and $200,000, depending on that. That's 15% to 20% your cost of sales. So if your churn rate is high, then the hidden cost is having to replace that work to keep up to where you are and to grow continually and make sure the franchisees have enough work to keep them satisfied.
Well, that cost of sales is huge, and you made a great point. If it costs you 15%, let's say, to get that new customer in the door, you don't get a discount if they leave early, right? If they leave after 2 months, it costs you the same amount as it costs if they stay for 10 years, right?
Oh, absolutely, because you're paying your salespeople commission and a base, and then you've got your marketing costs and your admin costs, and these are costs that most businesses just don't recognize. And for us, we spend a lot of time and effort and money making sure that our customer service people understand the importance of making sure a client's happy.
So
satisfied.
Let's talk about that for a minute, because that's something I'm kind of constantly banging the drum from my end in terms of investing in client acquisition. A lot of times I'm coaching and people go, oh, I couldn't spend that much money on whatever the case may be, direct mail or advertising, online, offline. There's all sorts of ways to attract a customer. And I'm constantly trying to go over the math of, hey, let's look at what your return on investment is, more so than, you know, because if you can acquire a client at a profit, do you want to spend $1 a month on client acquisition or $1 million a month on client acquisition? If you're making money every dollar you spend, let's spend more. But people don't get that. So tell me how you kind of came to that. I love that you know your numbers in terms of this is what it costs to get a client. And walk me through that. Because again, I'm sick of saying I love hearing people in the industry that are successful kind of beating that drum for me.
Oh, look, I think, you know, If I go back sort of, you know, 15 years ago, I probably had no clue about that, but because I was doing most of the sales myself. So there really isn't any cost involved in that sort of thing. But when, you know, our typical branch, we have a branch in every major capital city or every capital city in Australia. So, you know, your Sydney's, Melbourne's are the main ones, of course. And they typically have a general manager. They typically have an admin person. They'll have a number of sales people who report to a sales manager. They'll have a number of customer service managers. So you know what your cost is, and it's a matter of just working out the formula between, you know, what work's coming in, what work's going out, and what you're losing, and how many franchise sales you get a year. But it becomes, when you get to the sort of size we are, because we're 75 million turnover, I think, in Australia and New Zealand, you know, you've got to know those numbers.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, I don't want to say fool themselves, but they kind of get into this mode of when they're smaller, they don't understand that they need to know those numbers. And one of the things that you said early on that I really appreciate is you didn't start as a small business with no systems, no processes, and try to figure it out along the way. You built a foundation with a vision in mind. If we're going to be a big company, to be a big company, you know, Stephen can't be out there, you know, mopping floors. It's not going to work. So you kind of built it foundationally with the end in mind, no?
Yeah, I did, and we probably have some of the best systems that I've ever seen in any other cleaning businesses that I've looked at. We have what we call the SAS system, which is an online franchise administration system. So the franchisees, all their contracts are on there. They know when their payments are coming in. They can basically log on to that system, and they can raise a what we call a sundry invoice, so say a carpet clean. All the money comes into a central bank account, and we allocate that to the franchisees every week when they get paid. So I haven't seen another franchise company that does it as well as we do it that way. We also have attached to that is our customer service portal, where our customer service managers will go out and do an audit of a site. That audit is loaded into the system. The client can see the audit. The franchisee can see the audit. It's rated out of 100. The clients can self-rate. And if the clients rate less than what we've rated it, then our customer service managers, our franchisees all get an email saying, you have a problem on this site. You need to go and address it and sort it out and make sure the client's happy. So I don't think anyone else is doing that to that degree, but we're very much focused on doing things via the internet and having the systems in place to make the franchisees work as seamless as possible.
So we've got a lot of owners of cleaning companies out there listening, and that's probably top five, definitely top five, probably top three questions I get in terms of, well, how do I build these systems? I know I need systems, right? So a lot of times, I don't want to say they argue with me, but they kind of got a different position in terms of this, that, or the other. But when it comes to systems, I think universally the owners I talk to get the need for them, but they run into problems when it comes into creating and implementing. So as a guy that's, I'm sure, got your systems fairly well locked and loaded, you get a couple hundred franchisees, that'll happen. Walk me through that process of what that looked like to maybe give some encouragement to folks listening.
As far as our systems go, we've basically built these over many, many years, and there's an ongoing process to keep maintaining them. But with a franchise organization, I recognized a long, long time ago that unless I had an invoicing system that allowed franchisees to do it electronically, I'd have to have a team of, you know, tens of people in the office just folding up invoices and putting them into envelopes and sticking stamps on them and sending them out. And it's a very slow, tedious process to do it that way. And I'm guessing you guys in the States do a lot of things electronically as well. But I got to the stage about 10 years ago when I was spending about $40,000 on stamps. And I thought, this is ridiculous. So we do 99% of our invoices are done electronically, and 99% of them are paid electronically. We don't write checks out anymore. It's all done via the internet, through the banking systems, and same with the franchisees. Their money is transferred every Wednesday to them.
Okay, so yeah, it sounds like you virtually all but eliminated stamps and envelopes in or out, right? Either getting your money in or getting your money out to the things. Okay, so it sounds like, first of all, you've got to A, recognize you need a system, B, kind of recognize the low-hanging fruit in terms of what's the easiest thing I could systematize and get a nice return on that time or money investment.
Yeah, look, you do, but if you look at, you know, when you're doing, I think we do about 3,500 invoices a month. If you have to do those manually, the cost of doing that is outrageous. Not only does that sort of slow down the process of getting paid, but it means the franchisees are often having to wait longer for their money, and they're generally not very happy if that happens.
Well, and then also I would imagine if you've got a 10 or 15, minimum wage type employee doing this manual labor, the mistakes are going to be far higher than if you just have an automated system. I'm guessing you just have far fewer mistakes with that kind of volume.
Hey, Cleaning Nation, there is just way too much good stuff in this podcast for one episode, so we split it up into two. Stay tuned to check out next week's episode.
Congratulations! You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer Natalie at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.